The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Years ago, I started traveling to the Philippines back in 2001, and I had the privilege to preach at a friend's church, Brother Leonardo Ribatan, and I came across a man by the name of Army Gisalva. And Brother Gisalva, at that week, during that World Missions Conference, asked me to come and to preach in his church for Mother's Day. And so I went over to preach into his church for Mother's Day. And along the way, I became very well acquainted with Brother Indalas. And Brother Indalas and I've never met a man, honestly, in a different country that has had the same mindset that I have, and the same drive that I have, and the same purpose as much as I have in a Brother Indalas. And we have grown over the years to be very, very dear friends. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He received the Lord as his Savior on February the 2nd, 1988. And 3 months after that, he surrendered to preach, went to Bible college at the Lapasan Baptist Church, and graduated from Bible college there in 1993. Immediately upon graduating from Bible college, he started the deaf ministry at the Lapasan Baptist Church in Cagayan de Oro, Philippines. And his pastor, Brother Bruce Rice, of course, saw something very unique in Brother Indalas and asked him to come on staff as an assistant pastor. He became an assistant pastor and worked for Dr. Rice there until 1999, when Dr. Rice, of course, resigned the church, and the church called him there the same year of the resignation, of course, with that which was the endorsement of their dear pastor, Brother Rice, to be able to extend the call to Brother Indalas to become the pastor of the Lapasan Baptist Church. Doing a tremendous job. Right now they have two services. They're averaging over 1,200 in church. They have a Bible college like we do that has 59 students. They have helped to plant independent Baptist churches around the world through many of their graduates, and they have a thriving church. They're in a building program right now to build a 1,500-seat auditorium, and they're just doing a spectacular, spectacular job. And it is our thrill tonight to be able to have him. By the way, what a tremendous message this morning. And just it's one of those messages you listen to and say, boy, that was a gold nugget right there. And just fantastic. And I've been telling everybody about it I could to be able to listen to it. But just a great man of God, great soul winner, has kids that love the Lord, a wife that's very dear to him and all the people's hearts there at the church, and she loves the Lord. Went out soul winning with us yesterday, his wife with my wife and he with I, and just had the privilege to lead people to Christ. And it can be done here, it can be done in the Philippines, or anywhere where you plant your feet. And I'm so glad that he is a partner in getting out the gospel around the world. Let's all stand, give him an old-fashioned Texas welcome, would you please?
Blessing to be here, and again, thank you, Dr. Wills. Your pastor is a blessing to my life. You know, I always treasure friends that God has given me. And when I became the pastor of Lapasan Baptist Church, throughout my life, since I got saved at age 15, the only church I know was our church. And I heard about Dr. Army Gisalva, and you know, this is one of the most influential pastor in our country. And he came to our church when I was a young man. And I heard about the missionary who started the work in Cebu City and the person of Bob Hughes. And my pastor was telling me about the missionary. And, you know, the Lord began to work in my heart about loving missions. And I began to research different countries, read missionary stories like the life of Adoniram Judson. And I thought before I would be a missionary. I was in Bible college and I was ready to be called by God and willing to go where God wants me to go. But every time I asked advice from my pastor to be a missionary and go somewhere and start a church, he always say, you better stay. And that's the only advice that God. And I always listen to the man of God, and I always depend on the man of God, and that's my philosophy in life, depend on the man of God, because I know he loves me and he's going to guide me. And every year I surrender to preach, I surrender to be a missionary. And I always go to his office and ask counsel, and he said, you know what, the Lord is calling me to be a missionary. I was praying for Thailand, I was praying for Bangladesh, I was praying for Timor-Leste, I was praying for any country. But my pastor said, you better stay. And then after that, this is the only counsel I got. I get out of his office, I stayed. And the last time that I asked counsel from him, he said this, that I cannot forget. He said, if you stay, you can reach the world. I was really puzzled by that. I didn't understand everything about that, but I stayed. You know what he meant? If I stay, encourage the church, guide the church according to the book, our goal is to reach the world. And I praise the Lord that Lapu-San Baptist Church, by God's mercy and grace, it's not because of me, it's not because of us, but because our God is gracious, we're able to support Filipino missionaries all over the world. And there are 12 million Filipinos in around the world. And I praise God that the country, Philippines, our country, my beloved nation, that we are considered as third world country, we are used by God, and thank you for sending missionary to our country. And America set an example to us. And thank you so much for your example. Thank you so much for your love to souls. And I would like to say thank you. Thank you for sending Dr. Wells to the Philippines. And let him come. Let him visit our country. Let him preach to our country. His life has been an influence to many pastors. And sometimes you do not understand the heart of the man of God. But believe me, he's been used by God. And be thankful that you have a pastor. You know, I always treasure my pastor in my life. And you know, your pastor here is so dear to us. And I thank you for letting him come to the Philippines every year. And please support him, because I know by doing that, your church is being used, your life is being used, because the Lord has blessed you to have a pastor from his heart. Amen? Take your Bible tonight, open it to the book of Exodus, chapter number 14. Exodus, chapter number 14. I'm going to encourage you tonight. I know you have heard a lot of good preaching from this church. I just want to encourage everybody. We'll read Exodus chapter number 14. We'll read verse number 13 down to verse number 15. May I request everyone to please stand? Shall we all rise and respect the reading of God's word? Exodus chapter number 14. Are you there? Please say amen.
Amen.
Now look at what the Bible says. And Moses said unto the people, fear you not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Watch this. Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. I'd like to share with you tonight a message on the subject, forward ever, backward never. Forward ever, backward never. So we pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that you have given us. Lord, thank you for your grace in my life, Lord. Thank you, God, for the life of Dr. Mike Wells and his family. Thank you, God, for my dear wife and children that you have blessed us. Thank you so much, oh God, for the opportunity to be in this church. Lord, to see your great work and the potential of Parkside Baptist Church. Lord God, I pray tonight that you would allow your sweet Holy Spirit, Lord, to move our hearts. Lord, as I stand before these people, Lord, I acknowledge that I can do nothing, Lord, but to depend on you, Lord, and to trust you, God, that you'll be the one that would speak and would move the hearts of these people. Lord, it would be good when we go home each of us would talk about you. We'd talk about your goodness. We'd talk about your word. Oh God, Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord, revive us tonight. Lord, I do not know the situation of everybody, but you know. Would you please bless your word? Oh God, use me, please, for the glory's sake. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, Pharaoh forced them into brutal slavery. Now understand that Egypt is always the picture of the world. Pharaoh is a picture of the devil or Satan. But we notice in Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4, the Bible says God heard the cries of his people, and the Lord appeared to Moses in a burning bush. And there God called Moses, the Bible says, to lead his people out of slavery in Egypt, to freedom, and to go to the promised land. And that's the reason Moses responded to the call of God. And then he went to Egypt, and he talked to Pharaoh about God's desire for his people to get out of Egypt. Now let me tell you this. Egypt is a picture of the world. That is not the place for God's people. The world is not a place for us to serve God. Praise the Lord, there's always a place where God wants us to be together and serve Him and glorify His name. Praise the Lord for His church. Praise the Lord for this place of worship where we can sing and be together and can encourage one another. Let me tell you this, the world has no answer for life. The world, beloved, the Bible says, is not a place for service. Therefore, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If anyone loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And this is the very purpose why God sent Moses and talked to Pharaoh so that he can lead his people out of Egypt. Now, when the Lord called Moses, the Lord said, Moses, I know that Pharaoh would resist letting my people go. And God promised through the leadership of Moses that he would send a terrible judgment in Egypt. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 18 to 20 says this, and they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt, and ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Now let us go. We beseech thee, 3 days journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And this is what God said to Moses, and I'm sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And God said, I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that he will let you go. You know what God was telling Moses? Moses, Pharaoh thinks that he is powerful and he can control my people, but I will show Pharaoh my wonders. Remember the story of the 10 plagues that God sent in Egypt. These 10 terrible plagues, beloved, hurt Egypt. And the last plague was death for all the firstborn men and beast, the Bible says, except those protected by the blood of the Passover in the land of Goshen. After the terrible night, Pharaoh let God's people go. That is the passage we just read. This is the passage that he allowed God's people to go. But the Bible says he quickly changed his mind, because he knew the people of God would be trapped at the Red Sea. So therefore he said, let us pursue after them. Let us pursue after these people. And the Bible says he gathered 600 chariots, his 600 horse men, his armies, and he pursued after the people of God. Then after that, beloved, the people of God were at the bank of the Red Sea. Both sides were mountains. Behind them, they saw Pharaoh and his armies. In front of them was a Red Sea. And the Bible says, when they were stuck at the Red Sea, the people began to complain. And they said to Moses, Moses, this is the reason why you brought us here? So that we will die in the wilderness? It's better for us to go back to Egypt and serve Pharaoh. You know, sometimes if you are stuck in a situation, you don't know what to do. You have the tendency to complain and to murmur. And sometimes, beloved, you lose your faith to the God of heaven. But I'm so blessed of the life of Moses, because Moses indeed was a man of God. Moses believed God. I know he was human-like, as and has limitation, but he encouraged the people and he said, "Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians, whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." I believe this is a statement of faith. And Moses said, "Don't worry about that. Don't be afraid. God will help us." And then he said, "The Lord shall fight for you." He believed that. Then after that, beloved, I believe Moses went to God. He knelt down to the Lord. I believe, beloved, he didn't know what to do, because they were stuck there at the Red Sea. They cannot go back to Egypt. They didn't know what to do, because in front of them is the Red Sea. He prayed to the Lord, but God said, "Moses, stand up. Stand up, Moses. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Now think about that. Now think about this, beloved. If you study about the Red Sea, think of this. Red Sea is a body of water that lies between Arabia and northeastern Africa. Red Sea is about 1,200 miles long. Red Sea is about 180 miles wide. Red Sea has a maximum depth of about 7,600 feet. Now look at the command of God. The best thing you would do, don't complain. Don't look on the situation or the problem. God said, you better go forward. Now, folks, how you can go forward? In front of you is a Red Sea. You may think, "You're crazy, Moses. Look, you didn't see before us is a big body of water." Now, if you were a father and you have 24 children, you think you'd say, "I'm going to rest my children"? Moses, do you want us to go forward? Listen, this is not the word of Moses. This is the word of God. You know, many times you cannot understand God's ways and God's purposes. You cannot understand how God would work. Beloved, maybe these people, they begin to think, "You know what? The best thing we can do is to build bridges." You know what? God didn't say build bridges. God didn't say, "Okay, you old smart men, you gotta make a plan how you can cross the Red Sea." God did not say that. Right. You know, the greatest problem we have in our Christian life is always our opinion instead of basing our decision to the Word of God. It's not about what you think. It's not about your plan. It's not about your ideas. Take note. These people, these men of Israel were builders. But God didn't say, "Build a bridge." God didn't say, "Okay, build your own ship." You know what God said? It was simple that even a little child can understand. Go forward! I try to imagine this. Maybe, you know, this is about almost 3 million people, and Moses just heard this from God. And God said, "Moses, tell them, go forward." And Moses would say, "Go forward." And then those other leaders would say, "Go forward." And they would, you know, those would echo over the camp, and they would say, "Forward, forward, forward, forward." And there were some people who would say, "How we can go forward? This is many times we cannot understand God's ways. Maybe you think, "Moses, are you crazy? You don't know that Red Sea is about 1,200 miles long. Moses, you didn't know that Red Sea is about 180 miles wide. You didn't know that Red Sea is about 8,000 feet deep. Folks, you don't need to tell God because He knows He created the Red Sea. You know what God said? Just go forward. Let me tell you tonight the reason why we ought to go forward. Why everybody would say, forward ever, backward never. First of all, go forward because the destroyer is after us. Look at the picture. Pharaoh and his army, they were after God's people. His intention was to destroy them. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 14, verse number 8, the Bible says, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. Beloved, the destroyer is after us. The devil is on the business of destroying lives. As a child of God, we should be aware of that fact, because as a child of God, we have an enemy. And listen to this. He is after our cause. This destroyer is after our cause. What is the cause of God's people? They must leave Egypt because Egypt is not the place for them to serve Him, because the God of Egypt is Pharaoh. But the people of God, their God is the God Jehovah. Amen. The most powerful God, the Creator God, the gracious God. Beloved, He ought to be served. He ought to be worshipped. He is all-powerful God. And God said, I have a place for my people. Egypt is not the place. Therefore, God said, I want you to get out of Egypt. Therefore, beloved, God said, this is not the time to go backward or decide to go back to Egypt. God said, the best thing you can do in your Christian life is to go forward. You go forward for God. Why? The destroyer is after us. The D is after our cause. Not only that, beloved, what is our cause? Our cause as a child of God is to preach Jesus Christ. Amen. That is our cause. We are preaching that only Jesus saves. Amen. In the Philippines, there's a guy who claimed that he is the Christ of the Gentiles. Maybe you didn't know about that. He said, I'm the Christ of the Gentiles. The Christ of the Gentiles is a Filipino. And he said, you know what? God told me to get out of the denomination and to build His kingdom. So he built the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And folks, listen, a lot of people follow Him. But let me tell you this, there's only one Jesus that we preach. That Jesus is the one who gave His life at Calvary, shed His precious blood, beloved, for our salvation. He is the Jesus that we are preaching to people. Wherever I go, I want to share the gospel. One time we were in San Francisco, and I asked a friend, and he said, I want to go soul winning. I want to reach, you know, share the gospel to people here while I'm here, because I don't want to waste my time. So we went out soul winning. We went to the Berkeley University in San Francisco. I give a gospel class. I tell you, those students, they were not paying attention to me, and they didn't want to receive the gospel class. And I said, wow, I keep on giving. Some they will receive, but majority of them, they don't want to receive the gospel class. One guy, you know, he approached me, grabbed the gospel class from my hand, and he threw it back to my face. I said, wow. But you know what? I keep on. You know what he did to me didn't bother me. I keep on witnessing. If he wants to go to hell, so let it be. He made a choice. So I went on. I met a young man, a Filipino young man. I said, do you speak Tagalog? He said, no. Okay, we'll talk in English, I said. So I shared the gospel. I open to him my Bible, and I tell him about the love of Jesus Christ, beloved, and that young man bowed his head and accepted Christ as Savior. Amen. We have a cause. But this is the devil, beloved. He is against it.
He doesn't want us to serve God. He doesn't want us to exalt the name of Jesus Christ. The devil is after our cause. Not only that, the devil is after our commitments. These people are committed to serve God. Would you agree with that? Think of our Egypt. They're now committed. And also, these people of God is a picture of a church. The devil is after our churches. What is the purpose of the church? The church, beloved, is the body of Jesus Christ. And the head of the church is Jesus Christ. In short, the head ought to guide the body. We're here, beloved, to submit to the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, being the head of his church. And the lesson is the devil is after the church of Jesus Christ. The devil is not happy to see a church on fire for God. He would do all of his best to destruct churches. He would bring problem to members so that he could bring problem in our churches. Listen to me. He is not happy of a saved church. He is not happy of a separated church. He's not happy to see a soul-winning church. He's not happy, beloved, that our church is winning souls for Jesus Christ. He is upset of a Savior-praising church. We have no other that we praise in this church but Jesus Christ. The devil is a destroyer. Why go forward? Because the destroyer is after us. He's after our cause. He's after our commitments. He's after our churches. Now listen to this. He's after our children. You can see in the particular crowd of people, children were with them. Remember one time, Pharaoh said, okay, you can go, but let your children stay. Beloved, listen, when you serve God, bring your children, encourage your children, they're part of your life. The devil is after our children. He doesn't want our children to serve God. It would be sad, beloved, if we're going to lose the next generation. One time, Dr. Wells, I was so discouraged. You know, our church, 70% of our church congregation are young people. We baptize converts every Sunday. Outside from our church, we're ministering to 5,000 people. That includes children and young people. We minister to the public school. We teach the word of God all over the city. One time I was complaining to the Lord. I said, Lord, we have plenty of needs to the church. We need to pay the bills. We need to pay, you know, the water bill and pay the staff. And this the need is so big. And Lord, why are you giving us young people and children? The young people don't give. They only give me headache. That was wrong. I was complaining. But you know what? I was complaining in my office, and it seems the Holy Spirit just told me, why not open the website of your city and check your situation? So open the website of our city and look at the population of our city. Our city has a population of 600,000 people. Then there, you can find bracket by ages, and the biggest population is 5 to 9 years old. I said, wow. During the time I was 38, and 70% of our city population is 38 years old down. I said, this is exciting. I called up my staff, and you know, let's have an emergency meeting. Let's have a meeting. Because I was so excited. I talked to my pastor to the we have a children's church. I said, how many do we have every Sunday? He said, Pastor, we're running 500 children every Sunday. I said, now think of this. I want you to think of this. As we minister to children, look at the 7-year-old. Look at the 7-year-old and think of like this, that 10 years from now, the 7-year-old will be 17. Think of the 8-year-old, that 10 years from now, the 8-year-old would be 18. Think of the 10-year-old, that 10 years from now, the 10-year-old would be 20. Beloved, we have a wonderful future. Let us reach out more people. I said, reach out more children, reach out more young people. We run 28 jeepneys like you run buses here. I said, let us pen for souls. Because I don't want the devil to get our children. The future of the next generation depends on us today. Parents, if you don't go forward, your children won't go forward. Go forward because the destroyer is after us. The devil is after our children. Don't let him get them. Serve God, believe God, and the best thing you can do is to go forward with your children, believing God that He is your God, and serve Him. And also in this particular situation, you can see a country. Would you agree with that? The devil is after our country. Would you agree with me tonight that the devil is after America? Oh, America is a blessing to many countries. In the Philippines, we always acknowledge the sacrifice of American soldiers who came to defend my beloved nation. We always talk about Douglas MacArthur, how he loved the Philippines and how he defended the Philippines, beloved. And I thank God for America. But listen, beloved, the devil is after your country. And the best people that can, I would say, the very people God would use to defend this country, the very people that God would use, beloved, so that this country, beloved, can go forward for God, are the people of God, the saved people, the Baptist people, the fundamental, the independent, of passion Baptist people. Therefore, we're not changing here. Don't change. Don't change the Word of God. This is the book that we preach. There was a guy, you know, I saw my slides in his church, in their church, and he said, Pastor Andres, can I talk to you? And he said, why in your slides you put there King James only, KJV only? I said, well, that's the only Bible I use. That's the only Bible I use. So you mean you're only... Yes, that's the only Bible I use. And I believe that's the only word of, the word of God that I use. And I preach King James Bible. You know, today, beloved, the devil is so busy in distracting, deceiving people. You ought to pray for America. When 9/11 happened, I knelt down in my office and prayed for this country. Because if America goes down, it would affect our country. Folks, listen. Let us go forward. Don't go back to the world. Don't go back to Egypt. Don't serve Pharaoh again. He is not a good master. He is a cruel master. God save you. And I tell you this, He made you His own child. And beloved, listen, He is a very good master and a wonderful father. The destroyers after us. I always pray for my country. I told our church one time, you know what? You cannot change the fact that the color of my skin is brown. Wherever I go, I'm proud to tell people that I'm a Filipino. And as a Filipino, I live in the Philippines. I don't live in Iraq. I live in the Philippines because I am a Filipino. And I love my country so much. Because listen, every day I would pray for my country. I said, Lord, I don't want the devil to get this nation, and please give us more freedom to preach your word wherever we go. I'm so glad that there was one time in the 90s, our former president, Fidel Ramos, said, we want values in the government offices, values in the government sector, values in the public school, and we're asking the churches, help us to teach values. Beloved, we grab the opportunity and tell our president, the best tool for values is the Word of God. I praise God, beloved, we have freedom to preach the Word of God in my country. Listen, don't allow him to control your nation. Folks, stand up for the Lord. Make a difference for his name. Let us go forward. John chapter 10 verse 10 says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's the devil. His desire for your life is to destroy you. He doesn't want you to serve God. Listen, even you are there at the situation that you don't understand what to do, always pay attention to the Word of God. Believe God. Listen to God. There is always a way out in the midst of the impossible. Why go forward? The destroyer is after us. Secondly, go forward. You can find it here in the passage because the direction is set before us. What is God's direction? In verse 15 says, go forward. It said, Moses, stand up. Talk to the people and tell them, go forward. That is God's direction. Listen, this direction is God's direction, not Moses. Moses only followed what God wanted him to say. When your pastor preaches the word, he simply follows what God wants him to say. One time I have a member who came to me and said, Pastor, why you always preach about giving? I said, you know, I don't preach giving all the time, but there were times that I need to preach giving because it's in the Bible. So if you're against giving, talk to God. Why he put it there in the Word of God? Listen, I told him like this, Brother, it's an insult to God that you have received salvation free from him. He gave his only son to save you. And you complain about giving the Bible. The least giving you can give is always your resources. Right? When you give your money, you have still your life. Right? But when the father gave his only son, he had only one son, he gave it all. We have no reason to complain. Would you agree with that? What is God's direction? Listen to his direction. Obedience, not objection. Would you agree with that? What did God said? Go forward. Now, the bright man would say, come on. Wait, Moses. You don't know that Red Sea is 1,200 miles long. Moses, come on. Red Sea is 180 miles wide. Red Sea is 8,000 feet deep. How we can go forward? Listen to this. Most of the time, the one that would give complaint or the one that would complain are the people that would always think about themselves. Have you noticed this? Many times what God says in the book are always impossible things. When I was a new Christian, my pastor preached about preaching the gospel to every creature, Mark 16:15. I said, preach the gospel to every creature. What is the interpretation of that? It means preach the gospel to every creature. So I said, how can we preach the gospel to every creature? For the least, this, the command of preaching the gospel is impossible for us to do. But it's possible because this is what God wants us to do. If the command did not come from God, it would be, I would say, nonsense. But because it comes from God, it is something. There are something that God would like us to learn and to apply in our lives. Are you with me? We're not to question God's direction, but rather believe it. We are not to doubt God's direction, but rather follow it. We are to believe God's direction and embrace it. And oftentimes we cannot understand God's way and purpose, but let us exercise our faith without wavering to his direction. What is God's direction? Obedience, not objection. You know, many times in our lives we always object, Your Honor. Objection. No, God said, obey, don't object. I try to imagine, when the word go forward was echoed in the camp, I try to imagine little children where dad would say, Daddy, did you hear Moses? Did you hear Prophet Moses? Did you hear Pastor Moses said, go forward? You know what? A little child had no problem obeying and believing. Oftentimes, you can find in the story, in the life of the children of Israel, always it's the adult that would cause a problem. Amen? Because they have a lot of imagination. They have their own ideas. Listen, folks, serving God, in serving God, we're not basing that in our ideas. We must base it on the Word of God. What is God's direction? Faith, not fear. You know what God said? Believe Him. Folks, listen. Don't tell God how big or how wide or how deep rich He is. He knows all about it. Amen? Believe. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. Believe God. If you won't believe, you cannot see the power of God. You know what God is saying? Listen to my direction, Moses. Tell the people, go forward. Let them obey, don't object. Let them exercise faith and don't be afraid. And you know what God said? Go forward. All of you must go forward. What is that? United, unity, not disunity. You know what? You can think like this. Okay, we will believe God. Let's go forward. But Moses, in case, when we step to the water and everybody would be drawn to the water, in case our children would still be alive. You know what God said? Everybody must go forward. Amen? United! Obeying the Lord. I remember Dr. Baskin said, when God gives the command, you take the initiative. Amen? You take the initiative. You know what is God's direction? Cooperation, not division. Folks, listen. I believe a lot of them don't understand the command. A lot of them, they don't know how God would make them a way out of the Red Sea, how they can cross the Red Sea. I believe many of them don't understand what's going to happen. But they simply cooperate. They simply believe and say, okay, let's cooperate what God said. Are you with me? Amen. Folks, go forward. Because the destroyer is after us. Go forward. The direction is set before us. Last, and I'll close with this. Go forward. Because deliverance is promised to us. Amen. Listen. He promised deliverance. Now look with me. In Exodus chapter number 14, look at what the Bible says, verse 16. God was talking to Moses. And God said to Moses, but lift thou up thy rod. What's this? And stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now think about that. Moses, point your rod on the sea, and the sea would divide, and the children of Israel will walk on the dry ground. What is that? This is God's promise of deliverance. Folks, our God cannot lie. His word is always true. God can always be trusted. His promises, beloved, is true in the word of God. His plan is always best for us. Keep on trusting Him because He cannot lie. There may be situations in life we don't understand about God's plan and purpose. However, let us believe on His promise of deliverance. Let us believe His promise of deliverance. God can make a way to bless your family. God can make a way to bless your business, your personal life, even in the situation of the impossible, because for with God, nothing is impossible. The Bible says, greater is He that is in thee than he that is in the world. Now, how God promises deliverance? First of all, He promised us deliverance by His protection. God will protect us. Believe that. Folks, listen. Do you listen to what, you know what Moses said? Folks, God will fight for you. You know, God didn't say, okay, gather your armies and fight Pharaoh. God didn't say that. God said, go forward, I will take care of the enemy. Are you with me? Do you listen to this? The easiest way is always given to us. To fight is hard. Listen, are you with me? The easiest way is always given to us. The hard part is to fight Pharaoh. Listen, at this moment of time, at this very time, Pharaoh is the most powerful king in the world. Nobody can defeat him. If you notice, prior to these verses, you can find saying, Moses, I will prove to Pharaoh that I am most powerful. I am more powerful than him. He said, I will be honored in Pharaoh's life. Because I will prove to Pharaoh that I am more powerful than him. Therefore, God brought them at the midst, at the bank of the Red Sea to be stuck there to prove to the children of Israel that their God is more powerful than Pharaoh. Amen? Amen. He will protect us. I was reading the life of John Payton and his wife. They were pioneer missionaries in the New Hebrides Islands. One night, hostile natives had surrounded the mission headquarters. They were intent on burning the Paytons out and killing them. All during the terror-filled night, missionary John Payton and his wife prayed that God would deliver them. When daylight came, they were amazed to see their attackers leave. And they thank God for delivering them. A year later, the chief of the tribe became a Christian. And when Payton asked the chief what kept him and his men from burning down the house and killing them, the chief replied in surprise and said, missionary, who were all those men you had with you there? Missionary Payton answered, there were no men there, just my wife and I. The chief argued that they had seen many men standing guard. He said, hundreds of big men in shining garments with swords in their hands. And the chief said, these men, they circled the mission station so that we cannot attack you, and we were so afraid. Then we leave. Only then that Mr. Payton realized that God had sent his angels to protect them. Amen. And the chief of the tribe agreed for that. Folks, listen. Your God is your protector. He is the one that would protect us. Not only he is a protector, beloved, you can find how he promised deliverance by his protection. Secondly, he promised deliverance by his provision. What is the need? They need a way to cross the Red Sea. Listen to this. They cannot see the way, but God sees the way. Many times you cannot see how God would provide, but he knows how to provide. Amen? I remember standing before my people, I said, you know what? Let's believe God, and by faith, let us start the building program. And you know, we started the building construction, and I didn't even mention to our people the total cost of the building because it would shock them. I said, what we're going to do, let us give and let's believe God. We started digging, and you know, we're building in the building. It would be hard, you know, kind of construction. You're building inside the building, and you know, we build the post, we dig the hole, we build the post, and I tell you, it was hard, but I said to my people, let us believe God. Slowly we build. In fact, I told them, I said, you know what? If we can build this building by our strength and resources, we don't need God. Because we have it. Praise the Lord, we cannot afford, so therefore we need God. We will be forced to kneel down, and we will be forced to pray. We'll be forced to come to God every day and say, Lord, help! I know you would provide. Amen? And his provision is sure. And this provision, beloved, is sure. This provision is spectacular. God will always provide. Listen, He will deliver us, go forward. He promises deliverance by His protection. He promises deliverance by His provision. Now listen to this. He promises deliverance by His power. By His power. Now watch your Bible. Look at verse number 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and waters were divided. Look at verse 22. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. What's that? What is that? God was showing His power. Look at next verse. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and the clouds, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. Verse 25, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord frightened for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, and upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Jump to verse 29. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. That is the power of our God. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. Listen, He said, go forward. You don't need to worry how you can go forward. Simply obey God. He will take care of the Red Sea. Maybe right now, beloved, you are in a situation, that you don't know what to do. You are stuck in a situation. But listen, the best thing you can do is to go forward. I read about a missionary in Africa. He gives an unusual story. It is a sad story with a very happy ending. There was a faithful lady who got saved in the ministry of this missionary. And this lady was faithful to church. Every Sunday, every service, she would come to church with her dog. She has a dog, and this dog would always come to church with her. And this lady would sit in the church, and the dog would come in with the lady and sit beside her during the service. At the end of every service, when the invitation was given, she would go forward and knelt in prayer, and her dog would go forward with her. The Christian lady's husband was a very cold and hard man. In fact, he abused her, beat her horribly, just because she was a Christian. One day, this husband beat her to death, that he would not even allow her pastor to give her a Christian funeral. At the burial, it was just him and the dog in that home. But that Wednesday evening, he noticed the dog disappear about 7 o'clock, and he didn't reappear about 2 hours. It happened again on Sunday morning. About 9 o'clock in the morning, the dog left and did not return until 12:30. The same thing happened again that evening. The next Sunday morning, the man was so curious that he decided to follow and see where the dog was going. He had to hurry to keep up. But he followed the dog to the little church where his wife attended. The dog went in and took his seat during the service. At the close of the service, the man saw the dog go forward and take a place where his wife had prayed for him for many years. The man was so touched that he too went forward and gave his life to Jesus. From then on, the dog went to church with a new master. Folks, listen. There was not a thing lovable about that man, but God loved him. And God used a dog to help change that man forever. God used a dog to point that man in the right direction. The right that God was using this simple creature to tell the man that our God is so powerful. Folks, listen. You cannot change life, but God can. I do not know your situation this evening, but let me tell you this. The best thing you can do in serving God, go forward. You tell God, Lord, forward ever, backward never. Let us go forward for God. Can I have all of the children to come with me here in the front? All of the kids, please, in front. Can you come, please? Help me. All of the little children, come on, come on. Help me. I'm going to close now. Come on, you come. Please help me. All of the kids, all of the children, join me here in the platform. Join me here in the platform. Come on, quickly, quickly. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Listen to this. I'm going to close now. Listen very carefully. Now, if you're reading your Bible, the very generation who have reached and possessed the promised land were the children. Listen, because at the bank of the Red Sea, they obey God and say, okay, we will go forward. Folks, listen. The future of these children depends on you. Let us go forward. Because their future depends on you. God is going to bless them, but all depends on you. Tonight, I do not know what kind of situation you are in, but let me tell you this. Think of your own children. You're the reason why I must go forward. Even sometimes, beloved, it's so hard, and sometimes there's so many problems they encounter in the ministry, but I must go forward because I always think of the children. We have Christian school. We started that in 2004, and many folks in our church don't believe that we can start a Christian school, but we started it. Now we have 179 children in our Christian school. And it's a blessing. Every day I met with them, and they would run to me and hug me, and they would say, good morning, Pastor and Dallas. And some of them, little children, boys, would come to me and say, Pastor and Dallas, when I grow up, I will also preach the Bible like you. Amen. Listen, they're looking at you, folks. Let us go forward. As your pastor decided to go forward, let us go forward together. Christian, these children, 10 years from now, do you think they will be still in church? Are you with me? All depends on you. But if you keep on going forward, you have the greater assurance they will serve the Lord, love the Lord, follow the Lord, and serve God with all of their hearts. Forward ever, backward never.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.